Danny Schreiber?
Present.
Okay, Brad Stewart is excused. Michael Fuller?
Present.
John Steele, I'm not seeing John. Daniel Salty?
Here.
Yep, and not seeing Kirsten yet, so okay. But looks like we do have a quorum, so we can proceed.
Okay, before we proceed, I think we need to amend the agenda for this evening to include a vote of the chair, vice chair.
That's correct.
So do we need to, how do we do that, Len? Do we just?
I think someone would make a motion to amend the agenda.
So. Okay.
Oh, Kirsten's present. Welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Okay.
All right. So can I get a motion to amend the agenda to include the vote?
I move to approve the agenda.
We're actually amending the agenda to include. So I forgot to add voting on chair and vice chair, and so oh. To the agenda. So we need to amend the agenda to do that. So if someone could put forward a motion to amend the agenda to allow for the vote, that'd be great. If you're comfortable with that.
I move to amend the agenda. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I move to I move to amend the agenda.
Okay.
A second.
Yeah, we have a second motion.
Okay. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
All right.
Okay. I think it passes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, where is that now on our agenda? What point is that number?
It should become agenda item number 2, and then everything else would just slide. I think it's important to make that the first thing.
Yeah.
And then okay, cool. So I think perhaps Mr. Manning can probably chair this item since he's carried over from last year. So.
All right. Thank you, John. Anybody have any one that they would like to nominate or not nominate themselves for chair?
John and Chair Manning, can I jump in right here to remind everyone that chairs can serve 2 consecutive terms for 2 years, and then a vice chair as well. So James is in his first year, and so those are our council rules on that.
Okay. James, how do you feel about chairing again?
I'll
nominate James for another round.
I second the motion to nominate James.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. All right. So as a vice chair, does anybody want to do it or want to nominate someone to do it?
Who's our current vice chair? Forgive me for asking.
It's Danny.
Danny, would you like to do it again?
Sure. Yeah.
I'll nominate Danny for his vice chair.
Thank you. I'll second that. All in favor? Aye.
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 All right. Everyone. So then next on our agenda.
We do not have any public comment.
From the public.
Nope.
James is cutting out a lot at my end. Is it only me or is that what other people are experiencing?
No, that's James. That's James. So okay. We'll come back here in just a second. James.
Sometimes if the video gets turned off, the audio is better.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
I thought you were getting Starling.
So,
James.
let me shut my video off real quick and see if that helps.
Yeah.
Audio.
I will just interject that the next agenda item is approval of the draft minutes. While James is rebooting there, we can think about that.
There we go. James, how's that sound?
Oh, you perfectly. As Lynn
still
said,
cutting in and out a little bit.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is the approval of the draft meeting notes for November 14th, 2023. Does anyone have any questions on those notes?
I will make a motion to approve the minutes from the November 14th meeting.
Thank you. A second?
I second the motion.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. The next item on the agenda is introduction of new Parks Director, Megan Bigjohn.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So I thought since we have a new director on board and since a lot of our work overlaps, it would be good for the board to meet Megan. She joined us recently and she's been a fabulous jolt of energy in our city, and she and I have been talking about areas of overlap between the HRB and her department, and I don't want to speak too much since she has to dart off to council after this. So Megan, why don't you just introduce yourself and we'll just kind of go from there. So thank you. Not sure I can hear you.
So I want to make sure everybody can hear me because everybody else is pretty robot. Can you hear me okay? Because it might be my connection.
Yep, no, we can hear you.
Okay, so if any change is drawn, I can see your face and nobody else's, so tell me.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm super excited to be here today. Having lots of conversations with John and Lynn about a lot of the overlapping goals we have or items that are historical items that are coming. I'm going the next couple. And the part where I've been 14 years, I needed to come to Lynn in the area that I live as well and be able to serve my own community was quite exciting. So I think drinking from the fire hose estimate of what I'm doing, coming to a smaller agency where everybody wears a ton of hats, it's a huge respect to what the staff does and tries to juggle. I'm becoming a professional juggler as well as time goes on. But as things are coming to me, I'm realizing my partners in other departments, as well as other advisory boards, are becoming really key. And so I'm not one to work in a silo. If I see something that should be coming, I need to check with other departments on, like I mentioned, or other boards. I really want to be forward and proactive in doing that. And so that's where a lot of the conversations with John and Lynn have come through is a lot of people want to donate historical artifacts to the department. And you'll see today the historic tugboat is on the agenda for council. It's part of the reason why I have to hop off shortly. But just trying to figure out that we're making sure that items that are coming to the Parks Department as well as PRAB get vetted properly and get the proper recognition and looking at what the funding cost goes with those for long-term care. I'm really trying to work on and having conversations. There's like that as a Parks Director, what the value is to the city, even though I value history 100%, feels like we need to have some more boards such as yourself and as other department agency. So I just asked John when he invited me to come, I just wanted to let you know that I'm here as a partner with you all as things are coming up, trying to work on, you'll see in the council agenda, looking at what a donation policy about things were to come to the city as to who's owns them, who's to maintain them, how do we care for them? Because when historical items come to the city, they're of great value and history, of course, and we want to honor those as best as we can. And I feel like having some of those parameters around are very key. So that was what I wanted to come and just talk with you about, that I'm here and luckily just down the hall from John and Lynn, and we'll be talking with them and with you guys as time goes on, as I get some further direction, as I'm still new in my role. I don't know if anybody has any questions or not. I know it's introductory hello, but I want you to know all I'm here.
No, we appreciate you coming, Megan. Very nice to meet you again.
Likewise, yeah. Well, I think you and I have a lot of crossover in many different areas within the city.
So far, it seems that way, doesn't it?
It's nice to have a familiar face when I go into a room, too.
Yeah, that's very true.
Megan, I have one question for you. This has been a long item discussion with us, but the city has in its possession one of the most valuable historic resources, actually a number of them, historic properties that are now being managed by the parks. And they have a unfortunate history, which you may not know, of being neglected by the city. A number of these properties have been taken back by the community over the years because they were neglected by the city and fallen into disrepair. And now that the city has taken repossession of the operation of those facilities, particularly the McLean House, I'm going to continue to bang the drum because I've been doing it for the last 2 years now as the McLean House group was falling apart, that this needs to be a priority for the city to keep that McLean House as a historic property open to the public in a historic way, not for use of, it is not an adult community center, it's not a youth community center, it is a historic property, and that's the way it was originally deeded to the city back when it was deeded to the city. And I'm gonna continue to bang that drum, and it's not just another park facility, it's not just another building. I've been pushing this board for a long time to do that. I want council to protect it too. But I feel like for the last year and a half, we've been ignored because nothing's been guaranteed to us that it's going to be protected as a historic property. And I've been seeing in the last year, the parks using it for kid activities and summer activities that don't necessarily protect the historical nature of the building. Instead, it's just being used like it's another rec center. And that's not really what the building is. It's not just another rec center. It's, you know, a 100-year-old, it's coming up on its anniversary. It's a historic property that needs to be taken care of. And that's our mission. That's our purpose of this board, is to be taking care of those historic properties and protecting them. And I hope that the parks recognizes that and continues to recognize it. There's lots of people in the town, I'm sure, who've talked to you already about the McLean House in particular, mm-hmm. but there's other properties as well that have also been neglected. A number of fire stations that have been neglected. One that's in disrepair right now. Another one was taken back from the city because it also was neglected over in Robinwood. And all these historic properties, and I don't know if you know this, the city has already lost properties that they bulldozed because they weren't taken care of either. For example, Field Bridge House, which was another historic property that was significant to the town and was not taken care of by the city either. So I'm just throwing that out there. You're stepping into a bad reputation of neglect by the city. And it's unfortunately it's by the parks who's been responsible for it, because it's always been dumped on the parks as the people who have to take care of it, which I know is way beyond your budget to be able to take care of a property like, you know, Fields House or even McLean House for that matter. But there's groups out there who's willing to help. So hopefully you'll be partnering with some of those groups. You know, the Maddox Woods people have worked very well in Maddox Woods. There's Historical Society, some of the coalitions and other things who are all willing to help if the city is willing to let them take over and control things and run projects. So it's just a suggestion, but that's not really even a question, but I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
Well, I think, yeah, I've been very made aware of that. Thank you for articulating that. I hope that I have been stepped into quite a different or previous directors or others within and meet all back and forth to learn those new roles. I do know that that property has, at least in my time frame here, even as my child had gone to a computer class there, it hasn't been used as a rec center. Maybe that might be a little bit extreme, And that has been no intention of the Parks Department from what I've been given. Again, I've only been here 90 days. To explore the opportunities. I've met with the Willamette Historical Organization Society. I've actually met with three of the historical groups within the community already, and looking at what are our opportunities there. The one thing, a lot of our buildings that we have that are historic, is they do cost a lot of money to maintain and take care of, right? So trying to find that right balance of being able to preserve the history, to be able to educate our public as well as outside public about our history, and then be able to, I'm not gonna lie, show some revenue for it as far as, but honoring the history. Ultimate goal. I'm gonna look at what in his apartment in the historical house that we have, because as you know, as you mentioned, I don't know if everybody understands, director me, not in the apartment budget, has all the facilities and all of the street trees, as well as all of the parks and all the pathways that go through all of our neighborhoods. So we are stretched really thin. So trying to look at how we can do all of these things, number one, honoring the house for one, and making sure that we care for it. But how do we get people there to be able to learn about the history? If it's there as a museum, you're not gonna get it in there. How do we, not a ton. Limited by a ton is not even a word I even meant to use, but we have limited parking. We have a neighborhood that we want to honor by the amount of people and traffic that comes in there. And the house itself is its own gem. So I think that we'll be able to do that, and just hoping that I'll be working with you guys over the future as to what that looks like. That's also why we're not jumping into something right now. We're taking a moment to pause and look at what our opportunities are. And again, it's to share that history that's there. So I have open eyes and open ears to hear what has happened in the past and look forward to what we can do in the future. There's so many ideas that I have for it, but I wanna hear what our options are. And knowing that we want to educate people on that history while preserving it is the number one key. That's what I've been told is my goal.
Thank you.
Can you guys, is everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. Thanks, Megan.
I can hear you.
Yep, totally. Yep. I can hear you.
Well, thank you, Megan. We look forward to working with you.
Kind of investigate the opportunity. I think there's so many ways, like with the Westland Historical Society, they have all of these costumes that are sitting up there that aren't being used. How do we work with them to program some sort of small event there to educate the history of Westland? Like there's just, I think there's so many opportunities with all of these groups that we have that we don't have to do a whole bunch of rec programming, but programming with our current organizations we already have. And that's what I'm looking to do.
Right, yeah.
If that makes any sense, if I hope I'm feeling the right vibe with that. That is, I mean, it seems like what needs to happen there, yeah, to preserve it.
And we have a lot of history. You probably already tell there's a lot of historic groups in town, a lot of heritage, and they're all overlapping and they all sound the same, and they each have their own little directive. But between all those groups, there's a lot of people who could use the facility and help tell different stories within the community in the beautiful historic property. So lots of ways to be able to monetize it as well.
Yes, I think you have a coalition over at Historic City Hall, same deal there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a new of reaching the public in a different way. And so how do we tap into those pipelines to be able to get more people aware of all this history that we have? Mm-hmm. Everybody's gone blank on me. I'm really worried about the council meeting.
Yeah,
we have heard people, but I think that we're doing
okay with the meeting.
I think we're doing okay with the meeting, but it is a little jumpy. I don't know exactly why we're having problems.
Yeah, I just checked with the city. Yeah, I just checked it with the city recorder, and she said it's system's glitching a little bit tonight for whatever reason. So I think this may be a software issue maybe or something, but the storm could be impacting this in some way, shape, or form, so it's hard to say. So
absolutely, my power flashes for a quick second, so I don't, please say that that's not what our destiny is for tonight, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, you guys, I'm going to head off to get to council to see when I'm going to be up next, but I look forward to working with you all, and it's been really great getting to know John and Lynn just down the hall. So I hope we have more connection as we move forward. If you have any questions, let John and Lynn or myself know. I'm happy to partner here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Megan.
Stay warm tonight, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the annual report to council.
Okay, so the annual report, this was actually scheduled for last month, and I think I touched base with some of you in November on this. Just typically we do this in December, but we had a quorum issue, so I think we just rolled it over. And so basically every year council requests that every CAG provide an annual report about what they did, their challenges, their goals, things like that. So really it has sort of three primary purposes: to report and celebrate accomplishments, to identify challenges, and then identify areas where council may want to provide some direction on work assignments. So and to that end, there are some carryovers from 2022, and there's some new items on there as well. So in your packet is the draft I pulled together based on our conversation in November, I think it was. So accomplishments included 3 quasi-judicial hearings, training with the city attorney, and then a tour of the mill as well. So I think those were some really affirmative items that I think were definite accomplishments. Some of the challenges, as I understand it, were technology, such as tonight. So split authority with the Planning Commission in terms of just that issue. I know, yeah, we all know the project we're talking about, and the need for more public education on the role of the HRB in terms of what is the HRB's power, where does it recommend, where does it approve, what is its role in the community. One thing that I've heard actually from talking to other staff liaisons to CAGs, but also from talking to you, is that there's no official mission statement for the Historic Review Board. And that's something that could potentially be a positive in terms of the sort of public identification of your role and also focusing your work and helping work with council to help focus your work. So I did add that to the draft, and that's something I suggest the HRB may want to talk about tonight. And so I think at this point, I just would like, I'm curious if the HRB has any desired changes or edits. I gave a preliminary draft to the city manager's office so they could prep for their goal setting with council later this month. But I told them you had not finalized this, so everything was subject to change and revision. So I think at that point, I'll just turn it over to the board, and I'm just curious what you guys have to say.
One item, John, it's kind of touched in here, but it's not specific, but I know we had been talking about the long needed revision of chapter 58, which still has not been done. Yes. In the 6 years that I've been here.
Yeah.
I know you have a little bit of mention here about some recommendations.
Called out by 58.
Yeah, you mentioned about effectiveness and appropriateness of design standards in 58, but I think we need a whole, more than just that, I think we need a full rehaul of 58.
Okay. I've heard that from several of you, and I think there are a couple of things is that council has to direct staff to begin work on that in terms of providing capacity. And I think between the waterfront project and the Vision 43 project, we don't have that staff capacity to do that right now. But the way I phrased this was we could spend 2023 scoping out the potential issue, sort of identifying some of the big items to tackle in a future code project, and maybe work on identifying the issues, and then you know, sort of framing that and teeing it up to get going. So
John, this is our annual report to council. This is our ask. Right. And they can come back and say, you know what, we like that ask, but we don't have staff to do that. Maybe later in the year or next year. But you know, to Danny's point, I think we should call out this specifically, because if you look at, you know, any time that we have something come across our desk, it gets hung up with this, you know.
I know it does.
There's
it
always
does.
Questions.
Yeah.
So even if there's not staff to do it, this, I think, mm-hmm. you know, and other people correct me if I'm wrong, our request as a historic review board is to throw this in front of the council to have them tell us no.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'd second that.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, at this point, if you look at almost every chapter 58 one we do, we have to do a variance on every single application. So yeah. we're not even
yeah.
doing chapter 58. We're making up our own thing.
So, right. And we work through it, right? We do a variance or whatever. But then when it comes back to consistency, you know, Danny, you and I talked about this a couple months ago that, yes, on this one we approved it, but on this one we shouldn't approve it. And then the person that brings that application in front of us says, hey, you approved it for them, why not for me? You know? And we don't have any way to defend that.
And it seems like if there are the revisions, it shouldn't fall solely on the staff. I assume we would be part of that too, correct. Wouldn't we?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Although to defend John, I know when we did chapter 25, it is a lot of work on staff because they have to make the actual revisions. It takes hundreds of hours for them to do them. We tell them, hey, John, do this. And then it takes him weeks to be able to put it all in.
Yes. Like, yeah.
And then that's when John runs it to the attorneys and they say, oh, you know, by the way, this violates that code, which is a part of that. And then it's a whole avalanche of other problems that we cause. Yeah. So, yeah, I can understand the demand on the staff, but. I totally agree with James that I think we should throw this out to council again and whether we get bumped off for another year or not.
Yeah, we have to at least let them know that that's what we're hoping for eventually.
Right.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Because even if they say no this year and we throw it back on them again next year, they say, oh, wait, you know, we told them no last year. Maybe we should make some time this year to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So the. In bold letters, it says 2023 council goal setting. Wouldn't that be 2024?
Oh, whoops.
Yes, it should be. So.
Okay.
Good catch.
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to put out there is that the HRB can request a joint meeting with council if you wanted to talk about your work plan or chapter 58 or anything else like that. If that's something you think would be helpful in communicating this desire, that's something that can be done. The request would come through me to count to the city recorder, you know, and so to set it up at some point. But if the HRB is interested in that, that's something that could potentially be done. I don't recall the last time that happened. I think Danny, you may be with the longest serving person at this point. Okay.
Vaguely recall, but I mean, it was really quick, kind of a high, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah.
That would have been probably 4 years ago, maybe five.
Okay. And early on. And then James, you're previously on the board, as I recall. Yeah. So do you recall these?
Yeah. And no, I don't recall when while I was on it for years prior.
Okay.
I don't know what officially work because I, you know, sometimes council members will stop by and I don't know.
Right. Our council liaison would stop in, but not.
Correct. Yeah.
I don't think we ever had a meeting where it was just the whole council, you know?
Okay.
I don't think so. What we should do is see what the council's reaction is to our request, which we probably will be a no. And then we can respond with, we'd like to have a joint council meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or maybe we start with the council liaison.
Yeah. So
now who is our council liaison right now? Is it
says Scott.
That'd be Councilor Irwin. So okay.
Is Councilor Irwin censored though, or was there something going on?
It's on the agenda tonight. So I think after this meeting or concurrent with this meeting, there is that topic. So
we may get a new council liaison, possibly. We'll see.
It's all been under wraps. So no one, staff doesn't know what the report found and what.
We'll have to hop off this and watch the YouTube of the other meeting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The one other note I had on here, John, Yes. I know this is kind of for me is I have been pushing, and I know I've been pushing you a lot the last couple of years to add more historic properties to our list or whatever we call that. I don't know what we call the official list, but
resources.
Yeah. Cause we've got a bunch of historic homes that are not part of our group. And I know we've had a few homeowners who have been asked about doing that. And I'd like to keep that on our goals to the council is to try to make a mechanism for homeowners who want to be part of the list, the local, I'm talking to the local list, not the national registry, obviously, but the local registry of historic places, to make that something that's possible for them to do. And in the 6 years I've been here, we've had no houses added to the list. I don't know. I think the last time a house was added to the list was in the 80s, if I remember correctly.
We had one taken off, actually.
We had one, exactly. Yeah, we're negative. You're right. We lost the house that was protected.
We lost an actual historic house.
Yeah. So, I think that should be a goal.
Danny?
Okay. Yeah.
Danny, Lynn here. I would like to know, I would like to do some outreach to those houses you keep talking, that you have mentioned. We've had that one historic homeowner workshop and we're having another one come up. And I would like to directly contact them and invite them. So if you can let me know, phone numbers or anything you can, if you can send that to them.
John had that information, I thought. Did you? There was one person who had reached out to us, reached out about.
Yes.
And John has
the contact information. Right, and we did invite them, but we haven't heard it.
Yeah, it was that one person, yeah.
Yeah, that was one. And then the only time I know is at the old time fair, I had a bunch of people approach me and ask. It was more of a vague question of what do you do and what's the bonus of it.
Right. And I also want to mention about that is I've added to our website steps to list a property as a local historic landmark on our website.
Oh, awesome.
And it talks about the process and how, you can either do national register or local. And so we do have that as a page on our website. So if there's anything else we can do to increase awareness, let us know.
So that's the question I've had from other people is it now I'll have to look on the website if there's an actual process to it, because everyone has asked me what the actual process is and I cannot tell them that you need to fill this form out and then submit it. I can't tell them what to do. And now it's on the website. I will look at that and see if that's what needs to be done.
Well, Danny, it's a local landmark. It's a chapter 25, application. It's in chapter 25, the criteria to be listed, and it's basically would be an application like a land use application. It would come to the HRB for approval.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say
They're going to have to pay the fee and all that kind of stuff to be listed.
$100.
So
I wonder if there's a way we can have the CLG grant cover that cost for people so that it'd be absolutely free for them to be listed.
We can look into that. I would say the first step to tell people in terms of getting their house listed is to call the city.
That's what I've been doing.
Contact the city.
Contact John.
And then basically, and then from that point, we can kind of walk into the process. But that said, though, to segue back to the topic, maybe identify area ways to subsidize this, or maybe as part of the goal setting. But
the Holly Grove area was identified back in 2008 as an area that needs to have a historic designation, and it was ignored and never done. That whole area has a whole, booklet about them ready to be submitted for local protection, and it was never done in 2008 and has been just sitting there. And it was a recommendation to council back then and never got done. And that's at least a dozen homes that should be protected.
Where is Holly Grove?
Holly Grove is McLean House area.
I see.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Basically in between Market of Choice and the highway.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's probably part of the reason why they want to protect
Danny,
it.
That was kind of shot down by the neighborhood association at that time. So that's changed obviously in the last 15 years. So
yeah,
there might be an option or an opportunity for that to go back in front of council.
Yeah, there's an entirely new board, I believe, in Bolton.
Yeah,
as I understand it. So, yeah, they have a new chair. So, So anyway, that's something we could certainly discuss at future meetings as well, but that's good to know.
I wonder about this last sentence under 2023 challenges, where it says ensuring decisions are not made on emotions. I felt like a lot of the times the comments were less about emotions, but more about noise or things that just fell under jurisdictions. And I feel like emotions might not be the most politically yes. good word to use, the right word to use, just because they were yeah. legitimate concerns that the public had. And it's just sort of helping people understand what's under our jurisdiction and what's covered by, you know, certain codes or laws in Westland.
Yeah. That's an easy change if the board thinks that'd be appropriate. I can see that being an appropriate change. So I think I was just, someone may have suggested that at some point. So, okay. Any other thoughts or questions about the draft? Nope.
Okay. So the next is the Certified Local Government Program Review and 5-Year Plan.
Yes. So I think in terms of this, so this is something we've been trying to update you on for a while now, since our meeting with SHPO happened back in September on this. So, but I think other items have come up. So basically, Westland is a certified local government. And so it's on a 4-year cycle of review with SHPO to make sure our programs meet all minimum standards with state and federal requirements. This sort of unlocks things like grant monies and things like that, other resources. During this periodic review, a number of things happened. We were asked to fill a written questionnaire asking about things like numbers of reviews we did, nature of our program, you know, do we have a historic review board, yes or no, things like that. We had to provide evidence of that in support of that. They conducted an evaluation of our ordinance and records and accomplishments. And then finally, we actually had an interview with them back on September 15th. So at that time, they indicated there's no obvious concerns, and they anticipated renewing our status. As part of this conversation, they suggested the HRB develop a 5-year plan to help queue up the work and be ready for things like grant cycles and things like that. So getting the HRB thinking in a sort of longer term perspective to try and plan for things like things on the horizon we knew are coming. So we did check in with staff because we hadn't heard back, you know, since September. And I heard from Robert last week at SHPO that they have approved our renewal, and that for whatever reason the paperwork hasn't made it our way. They do this for almost every community in Oregon. So it just takes a while to get through. So I think as part of that, Lynn and I drafted up a 5-year plan of what that might look like for the HRB. And so there's a long list of things. I think the format there is let me pull it up here. Sorry, I'm working on two computers since I'm at home. And so I think it was just a lot of ideas to help the HRB frame out the next few years. Obviously, council needs to authorize some of this work, but this is just a way to help you guys identify priorities. Lynn, did you have any more thoughts about this, about the 5-year plan that you wanted to add? No, I think.
I do think we should add, I do think that the HRB should consider adding developing a mission statement as a priority. I don't know if that's necessary for the CLG 5-year plan.
No.
But there's CLG work, and then there's other work that the HRB should consider prioritizing in the next 5 years.
So it's broken up into different categories, and so these were things like potential areas of training, potential projects for future CLG grants, potential projects for the HRB, and then education and outreach activities. And this is not something that has to be voted on tonight or anything, but it's just a draft to put out there to help the HRB think about future work so we're not scrambling last minute for these things. So I'm just curious how the board feels about this. Do you find it a useful tool? Is it something you would want to refine over the next few months?
Is it worth adding Danny's comment about adding more historic properties to our resource list?
Yeah, I think that's something that could be added. Let's see here. They may be broken up into more specific tasks in terms of things like lowering barriers, increasing education. I think we're already kind of doing that through the CLG grant we're going to talk about in a second. But I think that's absolutely relevant. I think it's just how it gets framed in terms of like a concrete goals for that.
I have a general comment basically based on your potential training for HRB. How much of that can be synthesized in like a single meeting where we have already substitutes that are approved instead of it becoming a meeting or having to go to a hearing? Meaning, could we not already have materials approved for siding, windows, et cetera?
Yeah, that's something
I think that would save a lot of homeowner time. Instead of coming to HRB for a window treatment, if there was already just something approved, and if they wanted a variance or something different than what's approved, then you come over. That seems like it would be a way to kind of simplify things.
Well, that does seem to exist, though, John, because you guys do answer some of the window questions.
I think, although some of the thresholds are based on the area affected. So, for example, if you're affecting more than 100 square feet, it has to go to the HRB. So, for example, if someone had an approved material for siding and it was more than 100 square feet in one scenario, or enough windows to, even though they were pre-approved, because of the size, the cumulative size of those windows exceeded 100 square feet. So this is probably more of a code change area, but it would be a way in which it could relieve homeowner burden and HRB time.
And your time.
Focus on other stuff. Yeah, Mike, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so something more sort of clear and objective. Does it match this? Yes, then automatic approval. And that could be, that's absolutely possible, but we'd have to probably do a code rewrite for that. So
maybe can we, I don't know if you, is that something we could add to the list for that 2023-24?
I like that idea of lowering the bar for the public for things that are fairly straightforward. It's a more friendly way to interface with people who are trying to improve their property.
I think it would be a win for getting people on the historic registry too. I know it can be difficult to every time you need to do something to your home to have to go to a board and you don't know what the outcome is going to be. We want to make sure that the outcome is streamlined if it can be.
So I think in some ways the current code essentially if you're replacing like for like, then it's either exempt or approvable, but this may come into play where technology has moved on, and for example windows especially, so that's the windows are, it's the number one thing in the historic area, and so if there was an approved list, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, for instance, the ones we just approved a couple months ago for that large house.
Correct.
That seemed pretty well vetted and a good product that we could all fall behind pretty easily as being an approved product.
That makes sense.
Especially if it's well defined. The problem we've run into in the past is occasionally you'll get a developer who kind of sneaks through things through previous approvals and tries to claim that it's like for like, but it's not. And then not you, John, but previous staff has approved things and they should not have been approved. They're clearly violations, or they needed to have a waiver or a variance and it was approved anyway. And it was after the fact that we're in, that shouldn't have been approved because that was not part of, you know, whatever it was. So that was, again, before, this is previous staff. This is a long time ago, but it did happen in the past where we had a few, unfortunately, it wasn't homeowners. It was developers who I think were taking advantage of some code, the way the code was worded. They interpreted it in a different way and convinced staff that that was correct. So
is there a post installation visit to make sure that the items we approved were used? Just curious.
Sometimes there is, sometimes there's not. It depends on the scale of the work. So So for example, the Westland Saloon, I was down there more often, but some of the homeowner properties, we don't always have capacity, but we do random inspections, but not 100% consistent. Yeah.
But the problem, Kristen, that we've had is that we have no teeth to enforce things. So even if the homeowner, I know one home on 6th Avenue who raised the height of their roof without anyone's permission at all, and there's nothing we can do about it because it's built, it's done, the house is 8 inches taller than it was planned and it was approved, and they're living in it now. So.
Got it. Good to know.
It happens, as well as the number of buildings that have been knocked down by mistake.
Yeah.
And I've asked, that's another thing that I want in chapter 58, that we should put some teeth in there, that there's a penalty or a fine or something, that if something happens, like an accidental knockdown of a building, there's some sort of penalty or incentive for the homeowner or contractor to make sure the building doesn't accidentally fall down when a backhoe backs into it.
Got it.
I'm pretty sure I know the one you're talking about. So
There's been three of them. There's been three buildings that since I've been on the board have accidentally fallen down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Danny, I think you're the common denominator here.
Yeah, I know. It's me.
Hey, John Floyd.
I ask the one that fell down with no nails.
Yeah. About that was my favorite, Wes.
Danny? It seems to me that chapter 25 is the part of the land use code, and any violation of the land use code would require a code enforcement action. And there is a procedure for code enforcement and steps and so is that not is the traditional code enforcement not effective for chapter 25?
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand. It's beyond me. I don't know why it hasn't come into play ever.
So the way we do code enforcement in West Lynn is it has to be, someone has to make a complaint. If we, John would go out and inspect as allowed, I mean, or, you know, as time allows, but then if there was something that someone did that violated the notice, there would have violated the code, there would have to be an enforcement action.
I mean, when the house on 4th Avenue fell down because they took off the roof and had no nails holding it up, that they just came back to the board and said, hi, can we get approval for a new house? And that was, I don't know. Maybe we should have complained. I didn't know that was part of our rule, or maybe it needs to be explained to homeowners that if you don't follow this, you will go to code enforcement, and whatever the code enforcement penalties are going to be in place.
So I think a couple of things here, just broadly, and then once we're done here, I'll introduce the gentleman who just joined us. But it's I mean, every situation is sort of unique, depending. I mean, some's negligence, some's other things. Generally speaking, when the board or staff approve a historic design review, any building permits are verified, that the plans are verified to make sure they match the approval. If the work doesn't match the approval, it is potentially a violation. And then depending upon where it's at, in the process. The enforcement action would vary, but generally speaking, if people are doing work without permits, please non-emergency is the number to call to actually file a complaint with our code enforcement officers. So I think, and that's how we become aware of this. And then planning staff work with the code enforcement officer to get that resolved.
Yeah, it hasn't been done in the past. No one's ever done it. And we don't want to be the person to tattle on our neighbor.
I understand.
And that's not necessarily our job. The problem is that it's happened over and over and over and people have taken advantage of it. And we've been so gracious as a board to say, oh, I'm so sorry your house fell down, but now you get to build a brand new house and you don't have to have any, you know, old electric, you know, old plumbing, old anything. You get to have a brand new house just because it fell down. Yeah, it costs them an extra $20,000 to build a, you know, new house. But we lost a historic property. I don't know. I mean, John, were you? I think you were on the board when that one happened. But I mean, we were very forgiving and very understanding. But when the saloon happened, we made them do safety measures so the saloon didn't just fall down when they took off all the siding.
Correct.
So that's something that maybe we need to put in. That's not in code. We just did that on our own. I mean, I was part of our requirements,
right? It was a condition of approval in order to make sure that the construction was properly sequenced. And I think that was bolstered by our code. So I think, you know, on these case by case matters, I think we can do that. And these are things that we can roll into a future code update. So I think it's, and then I'll also just mention that we also, during the last code update, we did upgrade the language about demolition by neglect as well. So I think, you know, the last code package did actually strengthen that language.
For 25, not for 58, though.
Correct.
So that's where our problem still lies in 58.
So
58 for all the ones on Main Street on Willamette Falls Drive. Mm-hmm. But okay. Yeah.
Correct. Okay. Okay. Any other questions about that review, or is now a good time maybe to introduce our new board member who just arrived?
So, John, actually, one quick question about this. So, do you want us to fill out this action plan, or what's the next step with it?
I think we wanted to see, is this something the HRB is interested in working on this year, and sort of like as a way to frame future goals and maybe future requests from council for direction and resources. So, I think, is this something you would find useful? You know, and if so, are there items on here that you think we should add? And we can add this to the next HRB meeting. I just wanted to sort of introduce the concept of this. So
I was noting the outreach with tribal communities to present and share their history. Megan Big John is Native American. I'm not sure which tribe or if any tribe she's affiliated with, but it's sort of nice that we have somebody in parks that might be able to help us navigate that.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
By the way.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I am too, by the way. I'm 50% Native.
Nice.
Yes. My mother was full-blooded.
That will be helpful with that too. That's great to know.
Okay.
Do you need approval or a vote on this, John? Or are you looking for any kind of action from us, or you want to just, is it a discussion piece?
I think if it's something, I don't think we actually need a vote, but if it's something the overall board feels comfortable developing, we can sort of schedule this for a future meeting and maybe go through this section by section. So, when we're in person, so when it's a little bit easier, yeah.
I don't know if that memorial, that marker that's sort of on the Tualatin River needs to be included here or not. That's sort of come up in our meetings a couple times and seems to still be unresolved.
It's actually also Megan's department now, apparently.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
That wraps into what Megan was talking about with a donation, policy that the city's developing and Parks is developing. Yeah.
I see.
Then it might be something the HRB might want to review and provide input on.
Great.
Yeah.
The policy.
Yes, the policy.
Policy and then also making sure that, yeah, exactly. Understand the long-term costs associated with these items. So, but yeah.
So John, can we put this on the future agenda then? It sounds like everyone's kind of in.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that was my sense. Cool, we'll bring that back.
Thank you for putting that together.
Well, thank Lynn as well. Thank Lynn as well. So I think Mr. Stewart has joined us. So Brad, you're the.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Can you see me?
We can see you.
Excellent. All right. I'm a Zoom guy, not a WebEx guy, so I'm just trying to navigate here. So thanks for bearing.
No worries. Well, as the latest appointee, why don't you introduce yourself? And I gave the group a little preview as to why you were not at the meeting earlier. So
thank you. Thanks for that. Yeah, it's been a little crazy for the last couple hours. But by way of introduction, my name is Brad Stewart. I'm a roughly 18-year Westland resident. Very much love the community, love the historical aspects. Very interested in being smart about preserving those, just the historical resource that we have here. I'm also a member of the Stafford Hamlet Board, which both of these board appointments have happened within the last couple of weeks. So I am really at this point just drinking through the fire hose and trying to be a sponge and learn about what's going on in both of these aspects, within the Hamlet as well as historical review board. So just going to be listening and trying to develop my perspective as we kind of go forward.
Thanks.
Yeah. Welcome, Brad.
Yeah,
welcome.
Thank you.
So just right. Brad, to orient you here, just so you know, James Manning is the chair of the board tonight. So he's re-voted in as the chair. So
yeah, and James is part of the reason I'm here as well. So
okay.
Because I've been looking, I retired from Nike about a year and a half ago, and okay. I've been looking for ways to kind of give back over, you know, since I have some time, I'm happy to give back to the community that I've enjoyed being a part of. So excellent. James was a big part of that and helped me get involved. So thanks, James.
You're welcome. Glad to have you.
Excellent. Yeah.
All right. So the next item on the agenda is the Historic Home Ownership Workshop and McLean House National Register nomination update.
Okay. So that's all Lynn, so I'll let her give the summary on that.
Thanks, John. There's an echo. Is there an echo for you guys?
Yeah. Slight. Tiny.
Okay, how's that?
Sounds
okay.
Good.
Oh, well, thank you for letting me talk today.
Lynn, you're muted all of a sudden.
So I wanted to give you an update on the Historic Homeowner Workshop. We had one last October, and the next one is February 27th at City Hall at 6 p.m. So far, we don't have anyone signed up for that, but I'll let you know if there is.
I signed up for it.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that, but yeah. Kristen will be there, and we'll record it for a to stream or somehow to allow people to watch in it in the future if they want to be listed. Does anyone have any questions about the Historic Homeowner Workshop?
Is this one going to focus on local more than national registry?
You know, I did ask Kristen to focus more on local, but she wasn't really aware of our local process. And so that's one of the things after that workshop, I went ahead and prepared the website and did some background on that. So we have handouts, and she'll be able to talk a little bit more about it at this next workshop. But I also did update the website, as I said earlier, for that.
Sorry, I have a question. What would be the objective of the workshop? Is it?
Oh, thanks, Brad. So the objective of the Historic Homeowner Workshop is to educate Westland residents on the process for listing their historic property as either a local landmark through Chapter 25 of the Westland Development Code, or on the National Register of Historic Places, which is a national honorific designation. So it's just, it takes people through the process of it and lets them know how the steps and the application, and then how you would be, who would make the determination, and then what are the, you know, afterwards, what does that mean? So it's really just an education. And after the historic workshop, we have a consultant who can then do a half hour consultation with each property owner and give them individual help on if listing their property.
Got it. And then I assume that there's some benefits for the homeowner.
Well, they're mostly
honorific. Listed property.
It's mostly an honor rather than actual benefits. There used to be some tax benefits, but the state legislature has sunsetted those. They may redo them, you know, as part of the budget cycle. But at this point, I don't know for residential property if there's really that many tax benefits. For commercial properties, there could be some tax benefits, but again, that's you know, that's something that I don't know the ins and outs of tax benefits. You also would be eligible for some grants as well.
Correct.
And future, we could use state funds to provide to match and provide local grants to just Westland historic home property owners, but that's a process that's they did, I think, in 2015-16. I'm not sure, it was before my time, but it's a little difficult to get a local grant because you have to kind of have it all set up, and then the money has to come, and then you have to like apply really quickly. So we would have to line some people up for that in order to get local grants.
Yeah. And we've done those in the past, but we haven't done one in the last couple of years. So, but yeah, a number of homes in the historic district have benefited from those grants over the years.
Right.
Thanks.
So.
But this workshop is supposed to help review that for everyone over the benefits of that. Yeah. That's the intention of it. And this is the second of two, this is the second of two, right, Lynn?
Yes.
Correct.
There was one in October.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Lynn, have you sent anything yet to homeowners, to the neighbors? I haven't gotten anything yet about, I didn't realize that even registration was open.
Well, it's been listed in the Parks and Recreation Guide. It's listed on our website, and I sent it to the Meteor. I am going to publish it in the newspaper February 1st, the first Wednesday in February. But I didn't know that I wanted to discuss the grant funding with John Floyd to find out if we have enough money to actually do another mailing. We did a mailing for the October session, and that was probably $500, I believe. So we need to decide whether or not that's, if we want to spend that money to target people. And, you know, one of the things I probably should have asked is the other attendees is how they found out about it, because was it direct mailing what moved them, or was it the ad in the paper, or was it in the Parks and Rec guide? I'm not sure what motivated people to sign up.
I do. I love the fact that I did get the mailing last time, I thought. Mm-hmm. But the problem that I realized is that I'm already part of the national registry and I'm also part of the local registry. So I am not the target audience. I probably shouldn't have received it, because I'm already on that list. And I mean, I guess it's probably good to know what I could get for my benefits of it. But the problem is we've got to reach everybody else who's not on the list. But I don't know if we have a list of those people who aren't on the list, because they're not on the list. So we don't have that list.
Well, so the way the mailing list was created was, we just generated a mailing list based on houses that were on previous surveys.
Okay. Oh, that's a good list.
Because we don't have any way to actually tighten that down any further. Without doing some, I don't know. It would be kind of hard to, I would have to manually go through and take out the existing listings, which, you know, that's only like, you know, I don't know, the 125 plus the National Willamette District. So I don't know, I guess I could do that manually, but it's,
Did the Historical Society or any of the other societies send out a notification? I don't remember if they did. We should ask them.
I sent notices to the Westland Historical Society and the Lake Oswego Historical Society and the Clackamas County Historical Society, and I think also Oregon City, but I don't. We only had local registers, so I don't know if those historical societies did any outreach after that.
Let me ask. I will take it upon myself to ask the Historical Society to send out a blast, because they've got like a 500 or 600 people on their email list. That they can just send out a blast to everyone saying, hey, this is available. There's also the Clackamas County Cultural Heritage Commission. Am I getting this one? I don't remember their acronym. It's CCCH, whatever that one is. They do a community calendar that's always posted. It should be posted on that one, as well as Moot has a calendar. I think it's Moot has a community calendar. They also send out a weekly email. We should just make sure it's all on all of those calendars, because a lot of the historical interested people will follow those calendars.
Right. And I did, and like I said, for the October one, I did notify, I don't know what Moot is, but I did.
Museum of the Oregon Trail.
Oh, okay. I didn't notify them, but I did notify the Clackamas Cultural Commission, and I don't know if they actually put it on their calendar. So I guess
they don't. They have a form you have to fill out. Even if you send them something, you still have to go and fill out their little Google web form. It's free; it doesn't cost anything, but they want you to click on it and fill it out, because it's automated. I think it doesn't. They don't do anything on it. And I can help you on. I can if you need help on that one. I try to keep those updated. Sometimes they don't. They're not fast, so you got to push them along sometimes to get it on there. And the other problem they run into is that they often don't send it till the week of, so they may not send out anything until the Thursday before our thing, which is kind of a pain, because then you don't know in advance if you're gonna have anyone even come to the workshop, because they won't send it out till the Thursday before.
Right.
So, but it doesn't hurt to get that on there.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and reach out to those places.
Yeah. But so I'll help you with the Historical Society. I'll reach out to them and make sure that they get that. That Beth puts together an email for it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to give you an update on the McLean House nomination. Next month, the consultant will have completed a draft nomination for the McLean House that will be brought to you guys for review. And for your input. Your input, we need to submit it. She needs to submit it to the Oregon SHPO by March 1st. So it's not going to be a giant rewrite. And you're not going to get a chance to review the changes after the February meeting. But just like the for the national, for Historic City Hall, your comments will be incorporated into her draft that she sends for review to SHPO, and then SHPO will make a recommendation in June that whether to send it to the National Park Service, and then if it goes to the National Park Service, they will review and approve it by October. Does anyone have any questions on that?
So we'll have that for review for February.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. Back to you, John.
John, you're muted.
Sorry about that. So I think I have nothing else to add. If the chair is okay with it, we can just move on to items of interest from the board.
Yep, that's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. So, any updates from anyone?
Nothing here.
In a couple months.
Okay. Yeah, there is an event I wanted to let everyone know about this weekend. I want to say it's this weekend. Is it this weekend? Hold on, I'm just trying to bring it up. It's not anything I don't particularly about, but I think it's the Willamette Falls Landings and Heritage Coalition is doing a reception. John, you probably know more about this than even I do. January 1st at the City Hall, right? Is that right?
January 1st?
January 21st.
I am not aware of that. I've heard bits and, I mean, Megan and I have talked about so many things that I don't know, but so.
It's to review their plans for, I guess, what's going on with Historic City Hall. They're going to do, calling it Hot Dogs and Hard Hats. It's kind of their groundbreaking thing.
Oh, yes,
it's open to the public. Yes. They want an RSVP. It's from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Historic City Hall, the one down by the bridge. So I think they're doing an event in there. It's open to the public. Obviously, we're part of the public. We can go. So that is open to the public. It's, again, 1 to 3 this Sunday, I think it's the 21st.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so Sunday the 21st from 1 to 3 p.m. And then after that at 4:30 over at the Willamette House is the annual meeting of the Westland Historical Society, which is kind of their year in review, and then they look forward to the next year. And that's also open to the public too. And that does not need an RSVP. But I think they want an RSVP for the Willamette Falls Landings and Heritage Area Coalition.
Yes.
Where do we go to register?
Hang on, I'm looking. Oh, their website, wflha.org. Wflha.org.
Okay, thank you.
There are so many coalitions that sound exactly the same. I get them all confused. They're all called Willamette Falls something, history, heritage, or something. So, but this is WFLHA.
This is Willamette Falls Landing and what?
And Heritage. Willamette Falls and Landings Heritage Area.
Thank you.
I think these are the guys you're going to be basically occupying or helping to occupy the city, the old historic City Hall, right, John?
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah, the contract for that is for the work has been approved by council. So I don't know the exact construction schedule. Megan and Dylan are sort of managing that at city right now. Yes, I will. This did not reach my desk yet, so I will follow up with the HRB as well on these details.
John, I can forward you the email I got from them if you want. That'd be helpful to you.
That would be very helpful. Yes, I actually have the website pulled up as well. So, okay.
I'm not involved with that group. I just got the email. I'm on their mailing list. I got it, so I just saw it.
Okay, perfect. Excellent. Okay. Unless there are other board member updates, I'll just give a few staff updates, but feel free to jump in with any of your own. As we see with Mr. Stewart here, council made four appointments last month to the HRB. Steele, Manning, and Solberg were renewed. So I think it's mostly no change. The only addition is Brad here. So as a follow-up to your last quasi-judicial hearing with the new building on Willamette Falls Drive, that is going to the Planning Commission on February 21st. So I understand that they are withdrawing their application for the design exception and are submitting a revised design that lowers the building, so the height of the building. So I think that's, I understand, is our current path on that. So in any case, February 21st is the date, and staff has not seen those revisions yet, but we understand that that's the applicant's intention. So, and then also, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and they told us that even if we didn't approve that loft or whatever it was called, that they would not change the height of the building. And we sort of said, yeah, I don't know if that's true. So yes, as we suspected, they're not putting all these building materials into a useless space by having it higher. They are revising that.
Yeah. So I have not seen anything, but that's just understand that's their intention, is to submit those here shortly. But that does sound reminiscent of the conversation. I think also too, a draft waterfront vision plan was presented to a citizen working group last month as well. So they're currently working on a revised draft that we're going to shop around the community for the next couple months. And we're going to bring a copy of that latest draft to the HRB for review as well, given the fact that the waterfront's inclusive of a lot of historic resources around old, you know, historic City Hall, the whole ensemble of buildings there, the bridgehead, the apartments across the street, and of course Moores Island. So I think a date hasn't been picked out yet, but either the February or March meeting will be presented that. So probably the February meeting, but go through it. And then we don't have any other applications in the pipeline. So I don't have any quasi-judicial applications to report on. It has been a little bit quiet in terms of applications recently. So it might just be the holidays, who knows, but things have been a little quiet on that front. So of course, now that I've said that, we'll get three tomorrow, but you know, so, but right now we're seeing a sort of a dip in applications overall, so.
But it's probably less the holidays and more interest rates.
That's a big part of it. I know. So in terms of, I know we have a few subdivisions on the horizon in terms of recording and getting in the market. Really, most of the activity we're seeing right now are the middle housing subdivisions right now. Under House Bill 2001, single family zoning is essentially over, in the sense that duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and townhouses can now be built on single family lots. And so last year we had 15 applications for middle housing subdivisions in the neighborhoods, and that's probably where the future is. That said, though, the protections within the Willamette Historic District remain. So probably not. So any new construction therein will be subject to design review. And I think we probably won't for a while, because as middle housing comes in, people are looking for easy lots to redevelop. So those will probably happen elsewhere in the city and not in the historic district, so far anyway. So. But that's all I have at this point. So, okay. any questions? So, no.
All right.
Okay. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah, well, thank you, everybody. And thank you for being at the meeting tonight. And hopefully the rain won't stick. It'll just wash down the drain.
Yeah. Thank you for switching last minute to all virtual. So appreciate your flexibility.
Yep. All right. It's 7:21 for adjourn.
Thank you all.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Have a good night.